Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. Tap out, boys. Tap in before you tap out. I'm Minister Joel.
Got Prophecy.
Yes, and we're going to do a little something different this time. Before I get started, I want to say, Prophet, how was your day, man?
Beautiful. Another blessed day that the Lord has made. I just rejoiced in it, thanking God for just another day, you know, 6 feet above ground.
Yes, yes. It's awesome. Awesome to be alive. Awesome to be alive. So today, people, we're going to do a Q&A. I'm going to ask Prophet some questions, and we're going to get some words of wisdom from him. Full disclaimer, we have not talked about what the questions are beforehand, so he's going to be just as surprised as what I have whipped up for him to answer for me. He's actually going to do the same thing next Friday for me. So we're going to kind of flip it, but we're going to go ahead and jump right into it. You ready to Prophet?
Hey, I'm ready as I ever be.
All right. Got some good stuff for you now. All right. First question. Do you believe we are in the last days, biblically speaking? And what I mean is, based on what the Bible says about the last days, the signs that we would know that we're in the last days, do you believe that that's where we are now and why?
I mean, you started off real heavy. I had to take my glasses off on that one. Glory be to God.
Yes, sir.
So, long story long, absolutely, man of God. You know, one thing is that... you know, you hear people, and I'll say that, you know, people don't like the word ignorant, but to be ignorant means just to not know.
Right.
And sometimes we just don't know.
Right.
And people will ignorantly speak that, don't nobody know when the last days are. Well, that's actually not true. You know, in the word of God, you know, funny thing, you know, thousands of years ago, the disciples came to Jesus and they asked him, you know, how will we know when your second coming will be, you know, as we call the second coming of right. Jesus Christ. And how will you know? And he said, no man know the day or the hour.
Right.
But he said, but there will be signs
right.
of the season. And the truth is, he talked about the wars and the rumors of war. He said that man would be lovers of themselves. He even it was even prophesied that, you know, that man would even abort the true nature of a woman. You understand what I'm saying? So we have to look at that even as the time come on. Of course, everybody knows about Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
And, you know, even it was even likened that those times would be as Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, right. So we got all of these things, these signs are going on. You know, what's amazing to me about the word of God says that even the creatures of the earth, they groan it for the coming of the Son of Man. And, you know, a lot of times we're living in a day and time where even the media covers up many of these signs and wonders that would let us further know
true.
That we're in the last days.
Wow.
Because, you know, we have seas that have turned blood red. We have that shores have been washed up with nothing but dead fish.
Absolutely.
And then the scientists would blame that on low oxygen in the water. Mm. Now, scientifically, you make that make sense. But,
right.
But you know, the world we live in, they do a lot of things to deny that we're in the last days. And the mechanism, how people say, well, my great grandmother, my grandmother, they talked about that and we still here. Okay, that's fine and dandy. We've talked about certain things in the celestial from comets and stuff, and they haven't destroyed. You know what I mean? So there are other things that have been talked about that haven't happened. But just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not coming.
Right.
The Bible itself being a book of prophecy, it hasn't missed yet. Now, man has missed many times, but the word of prophecy in the Bible, they said for everything that Jesus prophesied, just for him to get one of them right would be like you going out the door right now, man of God, sticking your hand up in the sky and saying, lightning hit my hand. It would be just that, you know, far-fetched for the prophecies that are in the word of God to happen.
Right.
So we're definitely in the last days. We're in the end times. And if anybody would read the word of God, the evidence is already there. Just like they used to say, the proof is in the pudding. So
exactly.
Man of God, long story short, we're in the last days. Go ahead.
It was interesting. Yeah, you said that the powers that be, you didn't say those exact words, but that's what I'm going to say, are intentionally hiding biblical revelation, biblical prophecy, the things that the Bible say would take place. They're trying to give a scientific explanation for it to cover it up. Wow, that's powerful. That is powerful. Mm-hmm. So people, based on the Bible, we are in the last days.
Yes.
And we have to govern ourselves accordingly. We're going to go on to the next question, Prophet.
Yes, sir.
If someone told you that God or Jesus was not real and that it is a white person's religion, how would you respond to that to convince them to get delivered?
Wow, that's very interesting. Well, I think the first thing is for me to someone to tell me that Jesus is a white person religion, or Christianity in itself is a white person religion, I would have to first say I've never experienced it from a racial point of view.
Right.
Even as a child. And I understand that some people, I've had this conversation with people before, and some people have, they've talked about the pictures in the books that we read when we came up as children, and they've talked about, you know, the whitewashing, because the whitewashing is real, and I understand
that. It is.
But I tell people that I can only give it from my point of view.
Right.
I never experienced, even as a child, and I didn't have the Holy Spirit, but even as a child and praying and going to church, I never had in my mind, man of God, that Jesus was a white man. I had
You never pictured Jesus to be white at all.
I never pictured Jesus to be white.
Awesome.
Because his imagery of about what they painted in a picture was less than the character of who he was.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, okay. You know, if we think about now, when I think about Popeye the Sailor Man, I think about a white guy, you know, truly, you know. And so, you know, we had all these tall tales and cartoons and characters like that, but I just never experienced that my savior looked like who they had in the book. Amazing. I always felt, even as a child, that was an illustration, you know? So, right. So when people say it's a white man religion, I have to go to me and my grown self having the Holy Spirit. I would have to go historically and speak to someone who said it was a white man religion, because I would have to go back then that if it was indeed a white man's religion given to a black man in order to further enslave him in his mind by having him worship a white deity, then I would have to say, when did they introduce this white religion to this black man that they enslaved for over 400 years in this place we call America?
Right.
Well, then when I go back and look at it historically speaking, I realize that if you would read the Willie Lynch letter and read what the information that he gave to Americans in order to keep black people enslaved,
right,
he told them, give them no form of deity, give them no God. So even if we look at our own constitution, which lists an African American in America as 3/5 human, well, a 3/5 human wouldn't serve a full and just God. So it was never in the founding fathers of this country to give the black man in America a religion, because they didn't view him as a full human. So now then I will go back and look historically and see, when did they first bring religion, so to speak, to a black man? And I can't call the name right off the tip of my tongue, but it was a third to fourth generation slave owner and master. And we can look this up. I guess we'll bring this back up later when people, you know, respond or whatnot.
We will. And y'all can hold us to it too.
Yeah, because you know I didn't know the question. So, but nevertheless, this slave owner was going to kidnap black people and bring them back to America and make them slaves.
Right.
But when he came upon the black people, not knowing their language, he heard what he described them praising God. He said, even though he couldn't understand them, he said, these people are human. They're not dogs. They're not savages. They're praising God. Now, the reason you bring up him being a third, fourth generation slave owner, because that was how they made their money in that time.
Exactly.
So he continued to do that for 2-3 years. But he also, if I be not mistaken, was the first white man in the United States of America to bring blacks into a church. because he quit slaving. He quit going over and picking up slaves. He brought blacks into the church, taught them how to read and serve God in the way that he believed, whatever his religiosity was.
Right.
Okay. Now, so I just believe in my humble spirit that had to be the Most High God to stop this man from doing everything he
absolutely
ever knew. And then teach black people how to read. We got to remember, it was against the law for blacks to read. No right. one taught them how to read. So historically speaking, just looking at this one isolated event that happened in time, guess what? This was not a white man religious given to a black man so that he could hold him down into slavery. And the truth be told and understood, that I believe that what we have now in America, we have different translations of what the Holy Spirit had, the most written word of God was given then, and it was translated. All King James was the authority in that time that had the money to have this printed out into right. what we now know as the King James Bible, you know. Right. So all this stuff was taken from scrolls. So this wasn't taken from different governments. These were taken from holy scrolls and what we have down that we read that we call the Word of God. And I'll say this right here, man of God, and we can go to the next question. When I read the Word of God, there's something that was activated in me when I yes. was not in a house of God.
Yes.
See, when God spoke to me, I was not in no man's house of God. No white man came to fish me out. So at that time, the truth be told, in my testimony, uh-huh. I was drinking a fifth of liquor. I was smoking a black and mild. And uh-huh. I was reading the Bible as odd as was. And I had a visitation from God. I was not connected to any ministry. It was not in my plan to serve God. It was not in my plan to be in ministry. But God interrupted my life. And that interruption had nothing to do with a white man enslaving me or giving me a religion. That had to do with me having an experience with the Most High God. So we can take that as it is and what our experience is. If somebody else experienced that different, I understand that. But I will encourage them to get a relationship with God, because God is way bigger than a race or a false image that any evil person could ever place upon it.
Exactly. And I just want to add too, the Bible itself, it predates slavery. The Bible was being read in Africa. You know, for people out there, you can go do your research. This is way before slavery even started, because a lot of them feel like Christianity was something that was just made up to enslave, to control black people, you know, mm-hmm. during enslavement. And as you explained so profoundly, that is not the case. So we're going to go on to the next question. You ready for this, man of God?
Hey, come on with it. You don't start it out heavy. Come on.
Yes, sir. Explain what a generational curse is and how to break it.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Wow. That's good. And this will be very edifying to the body of Christ.
Yes.
A generational curse is a spirit that has attached itself to a man or woman. And this man or woman has reproduced. And that same spirit that was attached to them has now attached itself to the seed of this man or woman. And now the cycle has become continuous through generations of their offspring.
Right.
And that is what we call a generational curse. Mm. Now, how we break a generational curse, I believe the same way we would break an infection in our own body, our okay. mortal body,
break it
is
down.
That first we must recognize what the infection is.
Right.
All right. Then now, if we recognize what the infection is, we then must ask, how did the infection get in here?
Right.
And now if we find out how the infection got in here, we find out that guess what? We can't have the same environment in this mortal body that houses that infection.
Right.
We got to starve that thing out. So let's bring this down to alcohol, because the alcohol drinking, that spirit or whatever, how it attaches itself. And I really like to call it, to be honest with you, a spirit of addiction. Mm. I don't want to just put it to one drug. The spirit of addiction. So say the spirit of addiction was on me. And well, let's say it was on my father. Let's go over there, because I know my father and I know my father's father. Let's say right. it was on my father's father. So he have a spirit of addiction on him. So maybe he dealt with, in his time, it was alcohol. So, okay, so that spirit of addiction was something that his son watched him deal with. So his son watched him deal with it. So that was his perspective that he had in his eyes of watching a man deal with addiction.
Wow.
So when he grew up and came up and became a man himself, he watched how his father dealt with those addictions. It might be through a hard day at work. It might be through marital differences. It became a way that he self-medicated. So then when he grew up, when he had a hard day at work, he made him go to alcohol. So crack was his generation. So he began to smoke crack. So, okay, he watched his dad do alcohol. I watched my dad do crack, okay? So now I grew up, I see how my dad handles his problems. He never conquered these. So now I'm doing it the same way. Mucky see, mucky do, you know?
Right.
So I see he dealt with crack. Well, my generation deals with weed and chronic and now methamphetamines or opioids. So now when I get problems on my job, I lose my job. I got marital problems. So guess what? I smoke weed. When that's not good enough, I deal with opioids, methamphetamine. So what it is, I'm self-medicated. So it's cycling. And then now my son sees it. And if I don't stop it, guess what? He does it too. So now how do we break this cycle? I break this cycle because I have a revelation somewhere in life. And because me and you being spiritual beings, when we come to Jesus, guess what? We cast all our cares and worries on him. So if I cast all my cares and worries on him, then I no longer need to self-medicate. So guess what? Now he heals me. So instead of me turning to drugs, I turn to Jesus. See what I'm saying? Instead of me wanting to get high, now I want to praise God.
Yes.
So now I'm praising God, and I'm breaking that curse that held my father down and my grandfather down. And now my son, who I'm raising, he see me breaking this curse. He says, see, when my dad have problems, he don't go get drunk. My dad's not a drunk man.
Right.
He's not a high man. But when he got problems and his money is low, my dad go to the house of God. And I see him still praise God. I see him coming out of his problem. Whether he got money or not, whether the marriage going good or not, he's still praising God. So when my son grows up, guess what? He don't turn to alcohol. He don't turn to crack cocaine. He don't turn to opioids or chronic or marijuana to get high. He said, when I have a problem, I'm going to the house of God. I'm turning to Jesus. Yeah. And that's how we break generational curses. We break them by recognizing what our forefathers have dealt with and what they have failed at. And we turn around, we recognize that environment. We say, I'm not going to live like that. Neither am I going to live in an environment that's conducive for that curse to live. And so guess what? We turn in another direction and we turn to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And that's how the curse is now broken. And I can see this even in my life because my son don't have memories of me being drunk. He don't have memories of being high. Not that I never experienced those, but guess what? I'm a curse breaker. And guess what? My son, I couldn't imagine him living like that. But even if he does, guess what? He has the recipe to break the curse.
Yes, yes. Awesome, awesome. People, I hope y'all were listening because each one of us in some kind of way are carrying a generational curse. And we are mimicking our forefathers or our foremothers, I have you want to look at it, whoever was the parental guidance and your mentor that you grew under and learned from. So powerful words from Prophet C. People, we have the power to break generational curses by calling on Jesus. Now we're going to go to this next question. It's a very touchy subject, man of God.
All right, all right.
I'm finna really, you think it was heavy before. It's finna get heavier now. If a person commits suicide, can they still make it to heaven?
Wow. Got real touchy there. You certainly did go there, man of God.
Yes, sir.
We have to look at this and, you know, one thing we pride ourselves on being, man of God, is Bible-based believers.
Right.
And we believe, not only do we believe in living by the scripture, we believe in the rightfully divided word of truth.
Right.
We believe in speaking that, preaching that, and living that. And that's what we got to live by, whether it makes someone else uncomfortable, whether it hurts to their very core, to their soul of that person, we still have to live by it because we can't live by the commandments of man. We have to live by the commandments of God.
Right.
And we know he's given us commandment to his word. With that precursor being said, I do not believe that they can enter into the kingdom. if they have committed suicide. And I have scripture that would back that up. We have to understand that our life is not our own. Right. You know, I testify to people and tell them, hey, I was born to suffer. You know, I understand that I'm not a perfect being. I understand that I make mistakes, and I also fallen short of the glory of God. But with that being said, Romans 12 and 1 says, I present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Mm-hmm. It's only reasonable. So if I am to present this body, this mortal body right here of mine, this 200 and something pounds of flesh, if I'm to present that to God, then I don't get to decide and choose whether it lives or dies.
Right.
I don't get to decide and choose what do I even put in this body or where this body goes. If I'm a blood-washed believer and I have committed this body back to God, then I don't have the right to stop it from breathing. So when we think about that, so your last act as a living soul, as a living being, is to take your life. And we understand that people have dealt with all types of atrocities and just malicious things being done to them.
Right.
We understand that. But we have to give that same body, that same soul that has been done wrong, we have to offer that back up as a living sacrifice.
Yes.
See, when you commit suicide, you're giving your body as a dead sacrifice.
Yes.
And what does God do with a dead sacrifice? Let's look at the scripture. What did Jesus say? He said, let the dead bury the dead.
My God.
See what I'm saying? So we have to understand that right there. So we can only, and regardless, this doesn't matter how close this hits to home, man of God. Let's take the gloves off and be honest. I've dealt with the suicide spirit before.
Me as well.
You know, I don't have to go into depth of why I dealt with it. You know, this is a tedious journey.
Mental health is real.
It's real. And guess what? As well as mental health is real, so are spirits, demons, unclean spirits, generational curses. So, you know, whatever the thing is, on and on. We understand the devil don't take no days off. So guess what? I don't wake up because life is just so great for me personally. Every day, I don't keep going because life is so great for me personally. Every day, I keep going because of my purpose in God.
Right.
I keep going because I know that this ain't my life anyway. See, this was a gift given to me to offer back as a living sacrifice unto God, so that I might receive eternal salvation.
Right.
So we have to understand is what is the mind of a person who's committed suicide. Let's be serious. That person is not seeking ye first the kingdom, and they are not offering a living sacrifice unto God. So it is in my humble spiritual opinion, according to the word of God now, because I'm still standing on the word. I'm not giving you a fleshly opinion. Paul said, he said, even though he wasn't married, he believed that he speak with the mind of Christ concerning marriage. Now, no, I have not committed suicide, but I'm telling you this, I've been to the brink before. And I lived a life at a certain point of time where I was suicidal. Not that I was willing to kill myself at that time, matter of God, but I didn't care whether I live or die. You understand what I'm saying? And so I lived carelessly then. So I know what that spirit is like. I done slept with the spirit of suicide before. I know what that spirit is like. I know what the breath is like. I know what it's like to live through depression and not want to wake up the next day.
Yes,
but still, we have to understand that this life is not our own. If anybody were to watch this video and you've been battling the spirit of suicide, one thing I hashtag many times, man of God, is keep pressing. You never know when you're going to experience a breakthrough or a breakout. And I want to drop this out right here. A breakthrough is when you come out of your cell and you're in a prison. And that's good. You got a little more freedom. But a breakout is when you're out of the prison. You are out of the system. And I believe this right here, that anytime a suicide spirit latches itself on, it's because it doesn't want you to experience enough breakthroughs to experience a breakout. But if you keep on going and you keep on pressing, a breakthrough and a breakout is coming.
Now, I don't want to stick on this subject too long, but I somewhat have to play devil's advocate because I know there's a lot of people out there that have their own perspectives when it comes to this because they've lost loved ones. And in their mind, for them to cope with the laws, you know, we a lot of people love to say, well, they're in heaven now, they're in a better place. And a lot of people are being tricked by that mentality. But I do want to play devil's advocate and ask, what if the person asked for forgiveness before doing it? And kind of like, if they're like, God, I no longer want this life. Please forgive me what I'm about to do, but I just can't take it anymore. Now, I know this is probably the way that some people are looking at it. You know what I mean? So that's why I want you to say, if you can expound on that just a little bit, because it just popped up, said we got 10 minutes left and I still got, I still got three questions. So if you can hit that real quick, and then we'll jump through the other three in these next 10 minutes.
I got you. You know, Nick Saban said, you know, if you want to make everybody happy, sell ice cream. He said, don't coach football.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's kind of the same way in ministry. If you want to make everybody happy, you better just sell ice cream. Don't preach God's word. You know, because we don't have a whole lot of wiggle room. And the sad thing is what we see in the end times, as we've already talked about, people try to wiggle that thing. But now let's go to scripture. Let's go Jesus on the cross. He got one man on his left, one man on his right. And, you know, and we have theological differences of how people have looked at this. But the one who had to forgive, asking for forgiveness in his spirit, he said, this day will you be with me, and I'm paraphrasing, in paradise. Some people say, well, he wasn't talking about heaven. He was talking about paradise, this, that, or the third. I believe when Jesus spoke to that man, I believe that his resting place was eternal salvation.
Yes.
That's what I believe now. Nevertheless, let's understand this. I wouldn't want to leave it like that on a Hail Mary either. You know what I'm saying? Hail Mary in football, that's your last play. So now when somebody turns that into their last place, guess what? Just like anytime we enter, when we do a eulogy and someone is entering into eternal rest, it's not a preacher's job to put them in heaven or hell.
Right.
The truth be told, all we can only speak on is what we know. And what we know for certain is the word, not the life. Get what I'm saying?
Right.
So we have to just speak on it according to the word. And this is the thing. If that was their crying help, guess what? That's between them and God on the day of the Lord.
There you go.
May the grace and mercy of God be with you on the day of the Lord. I understand.
Amen.
Let's try to get those three questions out. We can go rapid fire if you want to.
Yes, sir. All right. So the next one is, explain the spirit of delusion.
The spirit of delusion. Wow. I think it's in the book of Thessalonians. It might be 2 Thessalonians when the word of God talks about the spirit of delusion being released. So it's funny, you know, we love to talk about the when he'll pour out his spirit on all flesh.
Uh-huh.
But we don't talk about the spirit of delusion being released right at the same time.
Right.
We don't talk about that part.
Uh-huh.
So, but the spirit of delusion is when two people can see the same image, but one person interprets the same image a different way in their mind. See, that's the spirit of delusion. So the spirit of delusion, it's operating now because we see it, whether it be on Sunday or you know, Monday through Saturday.
Right.
The spirit of delusion will have you thinking someone who is dancing is praising God, but just dancing, because praise is a spirit, dance is a movement. See, you can praise God without dancing. You see what I'm saying? So you can just be dancing and not praising God. So we understand the spirit of delusion has been released, and it'll make people where they'll believe a lie, where they'll live a lie, where they'll receive a lie. And they'll do all those things in the name of God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of truth, and it'll all be false. That's the spirit of delusion right there.
Having a form of godliness, but
denying the power thereof. Yes, sir.
And that's actually one of the questions too, but we hadn't got there yet. Tell me an experience you had that let you know that Jesus is without a shadow of a doubt real.
Jesus without a shadow of a doubt real. I'll tell you, I didn't even have the Holy Spirit at the time. And I know some people are trying to twist this, but I'm going to tell you because I know it was real. I was a spirit of suicide, still walking, walking and following me. I'm in the world and everything like that. Mm. And even though I'm experiencing success in the world, I ain't got no success in my soul. Even though I'm experiencing success in the world, I ain't got no peace in my mind. Right. And so I'm self-medicating by drinking all the time. I'm self-medicating by fornication and adultery, all this other stuff. So that's how I'm self-medicating. And I remember one night, and I'm drinking, but I can't get drunk, and I'm getting as low as I can be. And I'm just looking, and I have no direction in my life. Like I said, worldly success, but a spiritual failure. And I remember, and my cry was this, and I cried to Jesus. I said, listen, if you're real, I need to know right now. If you're real, I need you to touch me right now. Yes. And I ain't get saved or nothing like this overnight, but I felt the hand of God reach inside of my chest.
Yes.
I felt him just reach inside of my chest. And he let me know that day, regardless how I was living, that he was real. I knew I had an experience with him on that day. And I remember putting the cap back on the fifth of liquor. I was drinking liquor straight out of the bottle. And I put the cap back on that bottle. And I was at somebody's house, and I used to hide liquor behind up under their sink and everything. And I put it back up under the sink. And I remember laying on their kitchen floor, and I cried myself to sleep. And it was like even Jesus just woke me up in the morning, and I act like nothing happened. But I knew that night I had a experience with Jesus, and I knew he was real.
That's awesome. And I just want to add real quick, people out there, the naysayers, the atheists, when you see a person who's had an experience with Jesus, an experience with God, there's nothing you can do to move them or shake them. You're wondering why they just worship God the way they do. That's because they had an experience. And if you believe that Jesus is not real, you can ask God for an experience, and he'll do it. Now, I can't say it'll be a pleasant experience, but he will reveal himself in your life.
Yes,
and the last question, what does the Bible mean when it says having the form of godliness but denying the power thereof?
They get up, they go to church, they smile, they speak scripture, you know, they look very well. I mean, you would think that, hey, this is a man or a woman of God. They have that form to it. You know what I mean? Nobody shouts louder than them. Nobody praises, so to speak, louder than them. I mean, they really have mastered looking the part of looking like they're holy or looking like they're God. But when he says denying the power thereof, the truth is they have no fruit of God. See, the fruit of the spirit ain't being produced in their life. You get what I'm saying? So, I remember Jay-Z said something real, real important. He said, only so long can fake thugs pretend. Other words, so if you say you're a thug at some point, you got to stand on that. You got to shoot somebody at some point. You got to do some game banging at some point.
You got to stand on your business.
You got to stand on your business at some point. At some point, somebody got to fear you. You get what I'm saying? A thug going to do what a thug do, right? Or a gangster going to do what a gangster do. Well, a man or a woman of God is supposed to do what a man or woman of God going to do. And guess what? He said, he told Peter there, come and I'll make you fishermen of men. Who have you brought to Christ? You know what I'm saying? Where are the fruit of that coming from? Do you have a joy that's a peace that surpasses all understanding?
Yes.
You know, is your joy? He said, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. Guess what? God's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You ought to be joyous all your days of your life if the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know what I'm saying? Long suffering. You ought to be able to go through something. You ought to be able to go through bankruptcy, repossession. Right. You really ought to be able to go through demon possession and still bounce back and say, guess what? I cast that thing out of me. I'm delivered of that thing.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? You ought to be able to go through some things in life, but the things of life don't go through you. See what I'm saying? You ought to be able to have some bad days and still be able to smile. When the fruit of God is being produced in your life, guess what? You won't be denying the power thereof. The Holy Ghost will work in you, operate in you, and it'll produce something in your life if you're not denying the power thereof. See, when God is in you and you're not denying the power thereof, you don't do everything you want to do. That's why you won't even commit suicide. Guess what? Because you won't deny the power thereof.
Because
God can cast anything out. He can cast suicide spirit out. He can cast depression out. He can cast money woes and money problems out. He can cast abandonment out. He can cast neglect and rejection now, because the rejected stone became the cornerstone. If you're not denying the power thereof.
Yes, 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 yes. I won't deny you. Got the holy fire. You don't want to mess
with me.
That was also better, God. We finna get ready to wrap it on up. This was part one of our question and answer. The next episode, Prophet C is going to have some questions for me. I won't have any idea what the questions are until we are live. And that's going to be interesting to see how that's going to turn out.
You ready for the next episode? Hey,
hey. Yay. So we just want to say God bless to everyone out there, the non-believers and the believers. We hope this episode and all episodes are affecting your life in a positive way. I am Minister Joel, Prophet C. Tap in before you tap out. And y'all know how we close it out. Let God be the truth.
And every man a liar.
God bless y'all.